The power of correct thinking and confession. The renewing of the mind and the educating of the spirit. To be renewed in our minds is a commandment which applies to all Christians. When we accept Jesus Christ into our life, our spirit is regenerated and cleansed of sin, but our mind is not. Yes, positionally we are saved, but our condition does not always match our position. Ongoing daily sanctification is required if our condition is to progress towards our position, and the grace of the divine nature is needed for this process to take place. All this means is that when we are saved, and even after this immediate time, many of our attitudes, thoughts and beliefs will be at variance with the Word of God. Because of this, our unrenewed mind will often cause us, in the flesh, to oppose the desires of God. To change this situation, we must be committed to the renewing of our mind. Note, the believer is saved conditionally in the Spirit, for the Spirit is cleansed of all darkness at regeneration. Concerning spirit, soul and body, the believer is saved in all aspects in a positional sense. Indeed, the believer in Christ is dead to the law of sin and death. We no longer come under this law in a positional sense, but the law is not dead to the believer, for we can choose to sin and bear the consequences of that sin. So where we are at positionally can be very different to where we are at conditionally, our day-to-day experience. Only as we abide in Christ and yield to the Spirit, so as to absorb the heavenly graces of the divine nature, can our condition be brought towards our legal position. Sin, or the sin nature, should no longer have any ascendancy over the believer, because he or she is saved from sin. To walk in victory, however, faith in Christ and his finished work at the cross must be our central focus. We also need a total dependency on him, and the Spirit's empowerment in our daily Christian walk if we are to experience ongoing sanctification. It is something we cannot achieve by the self-efforts of the flesh, otherwise called willpower. God's Word tells us. Romans 12:2 And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, changed, by the renewing of your mind, the way you think, that you may prove, and know for yourself, what is that good, and acceptable, and perfect, will of God. Ephesians 4:23 And be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude, am. Once your mind is renewed in any area, this makes possible the next step. Ephesians 4:24 And that you, through your actions of faith, put on the new man, which after God, in God's image, is created in righteousness and true holiness. The renewing of the mind involves accepting God's truths wholeheartedly, grasping these truths aggressively or even violently, Matthew 11:12. A renewed mind involves commitment to a truth or principle, for the renewed mind is the mind which has learned to live by God's word. Once the mind is renewed, it will see other points of view, but it will consider only one course of action, that which is in accordance with the word of God. The renewed mind puts all its trust in God's word, for it has grasped knowledge which has been revealed by the Holy Spirit. The renewed mind does not even consider, in its analysis, anything else, no matter what others may say or do. This occurs to the point where one becomes dependent upon this renewal in any area so that we are able to prove what is that good, and acceptable, and perfect, will of God, Romans 12:2. The renewed mind gives us only one answer to a problem. It is after this renewal that we, through the divine nature, will have the strength to say yes to God's will, thereby saying no to the world, the flesh, the devil and natural circumstances. If unrenewed, the mind will side with the flesh and natural circumstances. If renewed, the mind speaks forth God's word and sides with the regenerated spirit which is empowered through the divine nature. This gives the voice of truth a strong means of expression. However, even with a mind which is renewed in any area, the Christian still needs to make a decision to act upon this renewal, and not to heed the dictates of the flesh or the natural realm. This action necessitates the person using their will. The will is the trigger, and the divine nature is the source of power needed to effect change. As we have said, The renewing of the mind causes the regenerated spirit to be educated in the things of God, and thus allow it, in the power of the divine nature, to have a greater and stronger voice. Christians who do not bother to work on this renewal process will still have unrenewed minds and baby-like spirits, even after they have been saved for many years. We thus need to go to harmonize our spirit and soul together with God's spirit, through the continual renewing of our mind. This, through the energies of the divine nature, will result in the continual process of ongoing sanctification in the saint's life, until the day they go home to be with the Lord. The importance of correct thinking. Because we are now a holy people in Christ, we need to keep our conversation pure, refraining from all swearing, filthy language and coarse joking, as God has instructed in His Word. Colossians 3:8 But now you must put off, rid yourselves of all, such things as, these: anger, wrath, rage, malice, blasphemy, slander, filthy communication, abusive, offensive language, from your lips. Ephesians 5:4 Neither filthiness, obscenity, nor foolish, silly and corrupt, talking, nor coarse, jesting, which are not convenient, fitting for saints, but rather giving of thanks to God. Sometimes we may need to walk away from people, or situations, for our own benefit and well-being. If we don't, we may be influenced by their sin, affected by their unbelief and drawn away from Jesus' Lordship in our lives. Meditating on wrong thoughts will result in bondage. We should meditate on things which are good, honest and pure, as Philippians 4:8 tells us. Philippians 4:8 For the rest, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is worthy of reverence and is honorable and seemly, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely and lovable, whatever is kind and winsome and gracious, if there is any virtue and excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on and weigh and take account of these things, fix your minds on them. In other words, if a thought or attitude does not line up with God's word, we are to reject it, cast it aside, then believe and trust that the divine nature will give us the power to say no to unrighteous thoughts. If we begin meditating on wrong thoughts, this may give legal ground to the devil to enter our lives and so bring us into some kind of bondage. It is not the initial thoughts themselves which pass through a person's mind that are sinful. Continuing to think on these thoughts, however, will bring a person into bondage, i.e., allow evil to gain access to or take hold in areas of a person's life. For example, the new divine nature, of which we are partakers, is meant to give us the desire and empowerment to do God's will. If we choose to think, meditate, on that which is evil, or to want that which is wrong in God's eyes, then the sin nature will roar back into ascendancy and enthrone itself, giving us the power to do what we have chosen. God has given us, through the grace of the cross, access to the graces of His divine nature, by which we can live so that sin should not have dominion over us. Therefore, there is no necessity to sin, for Christ has paid the price for us to have victory over sin and the sin nature, as we walk in newness of life, Romans 6:4-6. One of Satan's greatest weapons is unbelief, doubting God's word. This is an important truth for every Christian to remember, for our enemy, Satan, continually tries to attack people's minds with thoughts of doubt concerning the credibility of God's word. His suggestions may take such forms as, "This is not for today, this is not for you, God doesn't do that anymore, the Bible was written by man and is not really God's word, most of the Bible stories are really myths," and so on. It is up to each of us, however, to reject these lies and to stand on the truth of God's word, claiming the promises. If we stand in our authority in Christ, we do not have to entertain Satan's lies. We can turn them back on him by saying, "I reject your lies in the name of Jesus." Then, as we are open to God, we can allow him to empower us with the strength needed to overcome, through the energies and graces of the divine nature, to which we were given access when we were resurrected with newness of life in Christ. The importance of correct speech. We also need to be careful of what we say, our confession, for by our words that come from our heart, we will either have victory or defeat in our lives. Ephesians 4:29 Let no corrupt communication, anything contrary to God's word, proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, building ourselves and others up in faith, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Matthew 12:34 O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. Matthew 12:35 A good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. The proper usage of words is very important, for words transfer images to the soul of man, images which can be of either a positive or negative nature. Positive confession is an important tool which we can utilize, for confession with proper focus can help us build up a vivid, inner awareness of God's word. Indeed, the Holy Spirit can anoint our words so that, brick by brick, this inner awareness of God's word can be built up within us. Continually meditating on God's word and confessing scriptural promises can, with God's help, build up an inner image on the inside which cannot be broken, distorted or stolen by anyone. Many people develop within themselves an inner image of failure which is based on fear. If you were to ask them if they could feel this fear, they would have to answer yes, for it is to them a real experience. The foolish thing is that many create such an image of failure, a negative expectation, within themselves because they meditate, and therefore focus, on all the negative circumstances of their lives. People then dwell on this negative expectation until it becomes so-called negative faith. This is because they are actually believing in or on something which goes against God's will or word. They then come to experience the very thing they had feared, the very thing they had come to anticipate and expect, Job 3:25. To counteract this, believers need to meditate on and confess the promises of God's word rather than dwelling on the past, present or future in a negative way. They need to have a wholehearted approach to God's word so that it will eventually become their hope. Then they will begin to see themselves as God sees them and to think and act accordingly, as the Spirit energizes the heart of man by the grace of his divine nature. Also, through negative speech, people can give legal ground to the devil to promote darkness again in their lives, and so block God's power from operating in relation to these areas of negative speech. So too when people consistently make positive faith statements, this can help them focus properly, and so help bring them, as part of the process, to a position of faith. It is faith which is needed to allow God's grace to work in our lives. Some minor, or seemingly innocent examples of negative confession are, I'm sick and tired of doing that, you make me sick, I'm dying to do that, that's a pain in the neck, I'll probably get the flu this year, and so on. This manner of speech can bring bondage into a person's life, the same result as when people meditate on negative things. Quite often, there is no real intent in regard to these sayings. However, the practice does train the believer to think and speak negatively, and believe us, it will catch up with those who do so. We need to retrain ourselves and replace such sayings with positive confession. For example, instead of saying I'm dying to do that, you could say I'm eager to do that, etc. Again, people who speak negatively in these seemingly minor areas have usually allowed negativity to enter into most of their speech. If we address these minor areas, the positive effects will usually flow into other areas of our speech. We need to remember that our words can either give ground to the enemy or ground to God to work in our lives. Also, do not allow Satan's lies to affect you. These lies could be, you're not worthy enough, or you're good for nothing, or you can't do that. Just reject these lies by confessing who you are in Christ. Proclaim in faith that you are now a joint heir with Jesus, Romans 8:17, and that you have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus, and the word of your testimony, Revelation 12:11. Proclaim that greater is God who is in you than he, Satan, who is in the world, 1 John 4:4. Other good confessions are, God is on my side, I will not fear, Psalm 118:6, for God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, 2 Timothy 1. 7, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Philippians 4:13, by Jesus' stripes, wounds, I am healed, Isaiah 53:4-5, I have been saved according to Romans 10:9-10, God will never leave me or forsake me, Hebrews 13:5-6, etc. Always remember that it is by God's strength you overcome and not your own. As you confess, speak out, God's word in faith, believing for the empowerment to obey Him, you will have the victory. Indeed, God's word tells us we are to hold fast to our confession of faith, Hebrews 10:23. Confession should be the spoken affirmation of that which we believe, that which is already in our heart. And confessing the truths of God's word should help us focus our faith on His promises. If God is trying to develop faith in our hearts, confession can be used as a means of helping focus us on what God has said. Therefore, confession is not the means to faith, but rather a tool to be used to keep us properly focused on God's word. Confession can also be used as a tool to help lift up the faith that we already have so as to activate it. With the Spirit's grace, confessing God's word can also help us develop faith in the sense that, as we speak out the word, we are also hearing it. As the Bible teaches us, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. So through the power of God working in our hearts and lives, that which is undesirable will depart as we meet the conditions of God's word, trusting in the blood-bought victory Christ won for us at the cross. Don't forget that you now have, in Christ, a divine connection to God's divine nature which will help you live the saved life, in both word, speech, and deed. Yielding to the Holy Spirit will allow Him to energize our human nature through the graces of the divine nature, giving us the desire and power to do God's will, as we seek it. The importance of meditating on God's word. Background reading, Psalm 1:1-3. Studying and meditating on the word of God are both vital to a person's growth in the Lord. We must first study the word in order to gain an understanding of God's promises and righteous standards. Then, as we meditate upon the word and accept it wholeheartedly, it will be deposited into our hearts as revelation, heart, knowledge, as of course we open up to the Holy Spirit. And we meditate upon God's word by considering it thoughtfully or thinking deeply upon it. We need to read and meditate on the Word of God daily in order to know and keep God's principles alive and active within our minds and hearts. This needs to be a continual process, as the book of Joshua tells us. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law, God's Word, shall not depart out of your mouth, speak about the Word all the time, but you shall meditate therein day and night, think about the Word all the time, that you may observe, be watchful, to do, act, according to all that is written therein, and this is the promise, for then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. Then when a particular situation or trial arises, we will know how the Lord wants us to deal with it, according to the Logos word. The test will be whether we apply the word we have learned to that situation or circumstance which has presented itself, trusting also in Christ's finished work at Calvary, with us in Him partaking of the divine nature in newness of life. Our reliance must always be on the Lord, for He tells us in His word, "Without me you can do nothing," John 15:5, nothing, that is, of any eternal value. Only by His grace at work in our lives can real change be made, and character developed. Then the glory for any good thing goes to Him, the author and finisher of our faith, Hebrews 12:2. If we lack the spiritual fruits of love, joy, peace, strength, etc., in any area of our lives, we need to seek so that we may find and embrace His truths, for this means we are lacking that which is rightfully ours. We can know this because God's word says that we have spiritual prosperity, love, joy, peace, inner strength, etc. Indeed, all our needs are met in Christ Jesus as we meet the conditions set out in His word, and rely on His grace. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. To bring us to this position of reliance, however, we need to be fellowshipping with God and studying His Word, seeking the face of the Creator to do His will rather than His hands to obtain a blessing. In this we will be learning of Him and His ways and also discovering that all our needs are met in Christ. Throughout the Word there are promises which say we are healed, we have prosperity, we have peace and the power of God, through Jesus Christ, to meet the need. However, if we do not take the time to discover that these promises exist and then to embrace them for ourselves, they will not become a reality in our lives. Just mentally acknowledging that the promises of God are real is only the first step. We then need to seek out the conditions and fulfill them in order for the promises to be manifested in our lives. Indeed, we may be thinking or acting wrongly in some areas, and not be aware of it. In either case, we will be preventing God from blessing us. Studying God's Word, however, and fellowshipping with Him will help us discover, with the help of the Holy Spirit, areas in our lives which need to be changed. Through these means, the Lord is able to speak to us, and reveal Himself to us. Then by His grace and the power of His Spirit, as we seek the Lord's will, we can be changed. However, as we have said, let us not just seek the Word in regard to the promises of the covenant. Let us seek fellowship with the giver of the covenant Himself, so that we may draw water from the deep wells of our salvation. May you have the victory in Christ. Amen. For further information or teaching material to help you grow in the Christian faith, please visit Crossroads International. Full Gospel Ministries. CrossroadsMinistries.org.au